Thank you. Be seated. Next call is Lester W. Tyra versus City of Houston. The court is ready to hear argument from petitioners.
May it please the court, Mr. Thomas R. Steinbrenner represents argument for petitioners. He has reserved 5 minutes of
Good morning, Your Honors. My name is Tom Steinmeier. I'm a sole practitioner in Houston, Harris County, and I represent the petitioners, Lester W. Tyra, Jr., and approximately 14 other Houston firefighters before the court today. I hope that my case is not as complex as the case preceding it. At issue today in this case is Order Number 4 of the City of Houston Fire Department. Order number 4 created the Suppression Personnel Multiple Task Performance Test. It is simply a test which consists of 8 evolutions or tasks which a firefighter who was already a member of the department was required to perform within a specified time limit. A firefighter is given up to 6 opportunities to pass the test. The 3rd, 4th, and 5th failures result in temporary suspensions from the department. The 6th failure results in an indefinite suspension or a termination from the department. The trial court found that the imposition of the time limit was arbitrary and capricious and issued a permanent injunction against Order Number 4. By cross point of error, the petitioners before this court and the appellees in the court below complained, as they do here, that Order Number 4 conflicted with certain provisions of the Texas Local Government Code, specifically Sections 143.051, 143.008, and 143.1115.
Counsel, if the chief had imposed a 7 to 8 minute time limit, would that be all right? I mean, would we have to uphold that order under those circumstances, or do we have the same problem?
We have the same problem, Your Honor. In that Section 143.1115 provides the exclusive means to determine the physical and mental fitness of a firefighter or a police officer in a municipality with a population of 1.5 million or more, Harris County.
The statute itself doesn't say it's exclusive, does it?
The statute by its own terms says that it is the exclusive means.
As amended in 1989?
Yes, sir. In its predecessor, which was 143.081, which applied to all municipalities who had adopted the act, also did not provide that it was the exclusive provision. But 143.115 Subsection A says this section provides the exclusive procedure for determining whether a firefighter or police officer is sufficiently physically or mentally fit to continue the person's duties or assignment.
So it's your position that the statute effectively overrules the order of the chief?
We had originally...
And that it provides the exclusive procedure that can be used?
Yes, sir. That is our contention. It was our contention in the trial court as well, by way of trial amendment, that 143.081 had already provided the exclusive means of determining physical fitness. But as this case worked its way through the system, the legislature saw fit to amend 143.081 and provide the exclusive, the absolute exclusive, and they do by their terms. Say it is the exclusive procedure.
You're suggesting that was a clarifying amendment that it's already exclusive, but they made
absolutely certain. Yes, sir.
Counsel, under the City of Sweetwater versus Guerin case, interpreting the predecessor of that statute, this court said that it was not, that list was not exclusive. Isn't that right?
The list that was spoken about in Guerin was 143.081, what is now 143.051, that's the causes for removal and suspension of a firefighter. And I agree that that list is not exclusive. It includes disobedience to orders, convictions of crime involving moral turpitude and felonies, et cetera. It is not exclusive under Garrett. The important distinction between that case and this case is that in Guerin, and also in a case cited by the respondents, Jackson, there were legislative acts. There was in Guerin, it was an act promulgated by the city council, I believe. In Jackson, it was promulgated by the Civil Service Commission. There were specific legislative acts or rules enacted which caused the removal or suspension of the firefighter. In this case, what we have here is the fire chief arbitrarily and capriciously deciding causes for removal and suspension.
You think it's arbitrary for the chief to set out competency standards that duplicate the same sort of tasks that a firefighter would have to perform on the job, and require a minimum level of competency?
It is arbitrary and capricious only in that, I guess the best way to respond to that question is, we would have no qualms with the multiple task performance test as it stands if it was a legislative act. What we don't want to see happen is the fire chief or the department head under the code being allowed to enact by his own volition separate causes for removal and suspension of a firefighter.
What is the 8-point test? Could you tell me?
And I have observed the 8-point test. I would be fearful of doing it myself. It includes...
Start with one.
I can start with one, Your Honor. Momentarily.
I found it.
Helmets, boots, and bunker pants on. Time starts when the firefighter touches equipment being used in the evaluation. His first task is to drag the hose to the marked line, indicating the finish line for a 2.5-inch dry hose drag. Task 2 consists of lifting the wall ladder off the ladder rack and proceeds around the pylon, returns to the ladder rack, and places the ladder back on the rack. Task 3 involves dragging 1.5-inch charged hose, and a charged hose is one that is full of water as opposed to the dry hose drag, the 2.5-inch line that was without water, through the tunnel, a tunnel approximately, as I recall, 7 feet long, and then pulling a rescue-type sled back through the tunnel to the marked line at the entrance of the tunnel. Task 4 requires him to take a 2.5-inch charge line forward 40 feet, and then turn right 25 feet following the marked path and lay the nozzle down on the ground.
Aren't all of these things that a firefighter might well expect to have to do?
It is undisputed that all of them are job-related tasks.
They strike me as being very realistic.
They're very realistic. There is a dispute as to how many of the 8 tasks would be required at any single fire. For example, you know, what firefighter is going to have to do all 8 tasks at one given fire?
Well, you don't want to come up short, though. Wouldn't it be helpful both to the firefighter, the department, the city, everybody involved to know whether you could do these tests or not?
Without a doubt it would be. And as I stated before, we don't have a problem with the test itself. It's the implementation and the way it was implemented that we have a problem with.
Well, specifically what? That if you fail it, then it may be detrimental to your position.
I'm sorry?
The part you question is that if you fail the test, that may be detrimental to your position.
Certainly it would be detrimental to some of my clients, absolutely. We did not take issue in with the fact that the test was being implemented. Okay, we did, in the trial court, we raised the issues of discrimination against black people because the blood pressure was arbitrary and capricious. Those grounds have all been disposed of. Now, the only issue that we raised before this court is whether the fire chief has the authority to implement this, or whether or not it has to be a legislative act done by the city council or by the, or in a rule adopted by the Civil Service Commission, as it were in Gurin and Jackson.
Was there any effort to amend 143.115 in this session of the legislature?
Not that I know of. No.
Any other questions?
Doesn't section 143.051, which is entitled cause for removal or suspension, list violation of an applicable fire or police department rule or special order? Doesn't that contemplate that the fire chief has the authority to make an order which the violation of which would be cause for removal or suspension?
A special order, yes. A general order, no.
And this is?
This is a general order, as the respondents contend in their brief that it is a special order. I can only suppose that they got that from the Court of Appeals, which said that the fire chief has the ability to enact a special order.
Can you tell me the difference, please, between a general and special order?
A special order is, my understanding of a special order is that, of the Houston Fire Department, is one caused by an emergency. It must be specific as to time and place. And Mr. Fisher, who represents the city, can probably better clarify this for you. A general order is a policy as opposed to a response to an emergency situation.
What's the source of your information?
The Houston Fire Department Rules and Regulations, ma'am.
That would set out what's the difference between a special and general order?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Thank you, counsel. Court is ready to hear argument from respondents.
May it please the court, Mr. John E. Fisher will present the argument for the respondents.
Do you concur with the definition we just got about the general and special order?
I don't, although I submit that there's nothing in the record on that, and in fact that point was never really raised before the trial court. I would submit this would qualify as a special order simply because it is directed for a specific subject, that is, a skills or performance test. And that would certainly qualify.
What's left is a general order?
I'm not sure. I think there probably, the statute, the way it's phrased, seems to contemplate that there are general rules. It refers to an applicable fire or police department rule or a special order. In other words, general rules or specific orders would be my interpretation of that. In our office, we refer to this case as the case of the fat fireman, and that's more than just a facetious reference. The task of saving lives, protecting property, is admittedly, the petitioners don't deny it, a strenuous one. And the Houston Fire Department is interested in promoting an efficient service, and we believe that by giving an admittedly job-related skills test, that we promote that end. Now, it has been suggested that Section 143.1115 is the exclusive method of determining whether a firefighter is sufficiently physically or mentally fit to continue his duties. But I would ask you to note that in the next several sections, the reference there is to the determination by the person's personal physician, psychiatrist, or psychologist as appropriate. In other words, we're making here, under this section, a medical fitness determination or psychological fitness determination. And that is the intent of the legislature, and that's the purpose of this section. It's talking in terms of someone who is unable medically to continue in their duties. not that the person may be totally medically fit, but simply unskilled and unable to continue doing the things that firemen have to do when there's a fire. So it's perfectly reasonable to construe 1115 as limited to a medical determination. And the testimony both of Chief Clayton and of Dr. Ross, called by the defendants, and I would refer you to Volume 4, pages 138 and 139 and 190 and 191, is unequivocal. This is not a determination of medical fitness. This is a performance test. Can you do the job that you have to do as a fireman to rescue the lives, the citizens, protect them, protect their property, and stop the spread of fire? And again, the other side concedes that these are things that firemen do. Now, you can quibble and say, well, you might not do all of them at one fire, but when you have to do these things, lives are on the line, and it's absolutely essential that the department be able to test the people's skills and performance.
Is there any evidence that lives have been lost because of firemen not being in the proper physical condition?
I would say that that probably is not in the record. It is, I think, a legitimate concern. It would be difficult to prove in a specific instance that that occurred because of the condition of the fireman. But there are a number of instances in which firemen are required to carry people from burning buildings.
And you say that's not physical fitness?
It's not physical fitness in the conflation of what the legislature is talking about in 1115. They're talking about
to continue the person's duties are assigned.
Well, it simply means that you are too sick, that a doctor is going to determine you are too sick to continue your duties or assignment. A doctor is not going to be able to determine whether you performed a test like what we have here. That has no relation to making a medical judgment. In other words, this is not, if you say 1115 prohibits this kind of test, then the next step is that the chauffeur who drives the pumper and operates the pumps at the scene, you can't test to see if he is capable of driving that pumper and operating the pumps and producing the correct hydraulic pressures at a fire. It's just another step beyond that. Certainly, the
legislation 1115 provide a very specific procedure.
It does.
That any time the city seeks to call into question the mental or physical fitness to continue a policeman or a fireman's job assignment, that they can first ask him to present a medical report from his doctor.
And then that is appealed to
a psychiatrist or psychologist as appropriate. And if then the commission, the department head, or the firefighter or police officer questions that report, the commission appoints an independent physician, psychiatrist or psychologist as appropriate, to make an examination and submit a report to it. And if that, then that report of the appointed physician disagrees with the report of the firefighter's individual personal physician, then there's a third physician appointed, and that then that panel determines that.
That's correct. And you notice it says that that determination is final. What the legislature, Justice Mosley,
it also says in Section A, this section provides the exclusive procedure for determining whether a firefighter or police officer is sufficiently physically or mentally fit to continue the person's duty.
Do you know why that is included? In my opinion, Justice Mosley,
I gave up a long time ago trying to figure out why the legislature did anything particularly. I just know when they do it, we're bound by it.
All right, but look at the logic of it. This is taking a medical determination out of the disciplinary process. This is removing it from under 051, which is grounds for discipline. This is saying the fact that you are medically unfit to serve simply means that you're not a bad firefighter, and that determination is made over here rather than as a disciplinary action, which before this was enacted, even if you were the greatest fireman but you were medically unable to continue in your job, we had a choice of firing you or asking you to resign. This is an attempt to take the whole issue of medical fitness and move it out of the disciplinary area.
Counsel, doesn't say medical fitness.
Well, it says physical
fitness. That would include conditioning.
But who makes the determination? A physician. Now, to me, that is a very clear mandate that we're talking about a medical standard that a doctor is able to make.
Do you concede that 143.11.15 applies here?
Not to a skills or performance test such as what this is.
Well, I mean, that statute was enacted while this case had, after this case had been tried.
That's correct.
Wasn't it?
That's correct. But it's essentially
I need to know whether you concede that it applies here or not. I understand your distinction, but
I don't think it applies to this type of test. It certainly applies to the city of Houston, if that's the question. I'm not sure.
At the time this case was tried?
Well, at the time the case was tried, it was 0.081, which was the only difference that it didn't have this first section that talked about exclusively. And at that time, there was some question on whether if you had a determination of a firefighter or police officer who was medically unfit, did you then have to go through the disciplinary process of an indefinite suspension, an appeal to the Civil Service Commission, into the court system, or off to arbitration? And so this was enacted to say, no, that's not part of the disciplinary process. And it's intended, I think, to make it much clearer that you're not passing upon, is this a good person or a bad person, but it's rather, is he medically fit or not?
Does that purport to address skills or competence in the performance of one's job-related duties?
I don't believe so, except to the extent that that is something a physician could determine. In other words,
a physician could determine whether or not that a firefighter could perform these 8 evolutions within the required time?
I don't see that that would be necessary.
I don't either.
Now, a physician, to take that a little further, if I may, a physician could make the determination that he can't pass step one because he has this vertebrae is ruptured or whatever. In other words, he might medically determine a cause, but it may well be that there is no medical reason. The fellow just can't handle his job as a fireman.
Because he's not competent, can't perform competent. The skills
that's
required.
And that's
your position, then, that if you fail the skills or competence test, that can be challenged through the disciplinary process?
That is exactly how it's set up, and that's exactly what the petitioners are complaining about. In other words, I don't think if we were giving the test and there were no adverse consequences, I probably wouldn't be here.
Well, as I understand the petitioner's position, and you heard it like I did, and I may be wrong about this, but I thought the petitioner said that they did not contest that the required tests were work-related, but they contested whether the fire chief should have authority to impose these tests as opposed to either the legislature, the city council, or the Civil Service Commission.
Well,
what's your response to that?
Okay. I think the problem here is that clearly 051 contemplates that there can be a commission rule that says you can be disciplined if you violate a department rule or special order. Now, here there is such a commission rule. It was never introduced in evidence because they made their trial amendment raising this whole issue after the evidence had closed. And if you'll look at page 16 of the transcript, well, actually starting at page 13, you'll find defendant's objections to the filing of that trial amendment raising this whole issue, and on page 16 specifically saying that defendants, had it been raised earlier, would have proven that there was the commission rule. So that the underlying commission rule is there, it simply wasn't brought before the court because they raised it late. And so this is no different from The situation in Jackson versus City of Galveston, in which there was a rule beyond that of the fire chief. And certainly this is contemplated by the statute. How else would we be able to discipline firemen and police officers if there weren't a commission rule saying, following this 05-112, that you must obey the rules and orders of the department? It just makes common sense. And I think the Court of Appeals didn't really address that because they kind of assumed that, well, if you're bringing disciplinary action to the commission, appealing it, there has to be a commission rule that's been violated. And so I think there was just kind of a presumption that that was the case. And I don't think that Mr. Steinmeier will come up here with a straight face and tell you there isn't such a commission rule that ties this in. Because
but
there
is nothing in the, there's no ordinance or rule that prescribes this test.
No. The tie is a rule of the commission which says that tracking this subsection 12, that a fireman and policeman shall obey the rules and special orders of his department. And that's the tie that raises this above just the level of an action of the fire chief in and of itself. But otherwise you would not be able to enforce any discipline because most of the rule violations are departmental rules. So I think you have a fairly reasonable way to construe both 051 and 1115 that would permit the City of Houston to continue to develop an efficient and capable fire department that is capable of saving lives and property. Or you have a construction to say that testing of skills, whenever done, cannot be a basis for discipline. Only a doctor can make that determination. And I don't think that's a reasonable interpretation. And it would impute to the legislature something that does not clearly appear from the Act, the fact that they only refer to a physician, psychologist, or psychiatrist suggests that it is a very limited type section in its application, that it certainly doesn't look at other things. If you're going to say, well, that's the only way you can determine fitness, the fireman is fit either physically or mentally, then what do you do with a job evaluation? Doesn't that go to his fitness? I think it does. So my time is up, and unless there are some other questions from the court.
Thank you, Kevin. Is it your position that there is a way to require firemen to pass this test or be disciplined?
There is a way to do that if you call .1115 a disciplinary action. I think that this test would be a legitimate test if it was administered without the threat of disciplinary action, but only if, for example, you failed the test. That's when the order comes from the fire chief under 1115 that says you need to go to a doctor, submit a report from your doctor, and follow the rest of the procedures that that section contemplates. I think then it would be a valid test.
Counsel, are you familiar with the case, I believe, it's the City of Houston that the court handed down a few weeks ago?
Yes, sir.
Do you think that that case impacts this case at all?
The Court of Appeals believed that it did, Your Honor. I think that that case is distinguishable in that it also had as its nexus a legislative act. So it's separate and apart.
Does the City of Houston have a female firefighter?
Yes, sir.
And these 8-point performance and skills tests, both men and women have to pass the same test?
Yes, sir.
What is the status of these tests? Are they being utilized at this time, or is that?
To my knowledge, the extent of their utilization is on a strictly voluntary basis until this matter is resolved.
tell me very simply how the procedure that is now in place differs legally from the accomplishing the same result in the way that you described to me a moment ago. What is the legal problem with the way that they're doing it versus the way that they could do it and accomplish the same result, in your view?
As I understand your question, Judge, the difference is the act of a legislative act.
Well, but if the statute is the exclusive means, there's no other way to do it, is there? If 111.1115 covers this and it is exclusive, then there is no other body, the City Council or the Civil Service Commission or no one else, can amend that, can they?
No, sir, they cannot.
Well, how can this, my question to you earlier was, can the fire chief require a fireman to pass this test or be disciplined? Your answer to that is yes or no?
No.
Can anybody other than the legislature?
Not at this point, no, sir.
All right. That's what I... So your position earlier was, I thought I understood it, you didn't contest that the required tests were work-related, but the fire chief should not have the authority to do this. Either the legislature, city council, or civil service commission should, but actually the city council and the civil service commission cannot impose this test as a condition of discipline.
I would think that the City Council or the Civil Service Commission can come up with, after hearings have been held, public hearings have been held, can come up with a rule or regulation or a special order of the fire department or a general order of the fire department, some legislative act that would meet the requirements of 1115. For example, they could order every firefighter to undergo the test. But they can...
How can they order a firefighter to undergo this test as part of 1115?
I think this is a way to lead into 1115, in that you ordered the firefighter to perform these 8 evolutions. If he doesn't do that, you can't suspend or fire him. You simply go over to 1115 and say, you go to your doctor, and we're going to go through all of these procedures.
So they cannot require, no one, short of the legislature, under your view of this statute, can require any fireman to pass these tests?
They can require him to pass it, Judge. They can't fire him for not passing. 1115...
Well, what I mean by require is if they say to him, do it, and he says to them, no, they can't do anything about it.
If the City Council passes an ordinance requiring this as a condition of employment for a City of Houston firefighter, and he refuses to take the test and is ordered to do it by the fire chief, there are other ways of getting rid of it. There are 051 insubordination is a grounds for dismissal or suspension.
Well, what's the difference if the fire chief does that or the city council does it? If the fire chief says, do this test, and the guy says no, or fire chief says, pass this test, and he tries it and he can't.
The difference, Your Honor, is simply that 1115 provides the exclusive means for determining the mental or physical fitness of a firefighter or a police officer.
So no one else, not the City Council, not the Civil Service Commission, not the Fire Chief, not anybody, can require firemen to pass this test?
I think we're headed in the same direction, Your Honor, but we're getting there different ways.
If 1115 is exclusive, how can there be any other test, including this one?
Your Honor, the City Council could order by ordinance every firefighter to pass this test.
Why wouldn't you be right back up here saying 1115 is exclusive?
All I'm asking for is this court to decide that a legislative act of some sort is required in order to take any action which is going to result in the discipline or suspension of a firefighter.
And that's a perfectly good argument addressed to the legislature. But your interpretation of 1115A, as I understand it, is This is the exclusive. 1115 is exclusive. There are no other ways of doing it. This is it. How can the city council add one to that?
It is, the way they would add it, Judge, is simply saying, taking out the disciplinary actions of order number four and saying to the firefighter, you are going to pass this test. Here is, by ordinance, order number four.
But if he does it and he can't do it, there's nothing they can do about it.
He goes to 1115, Judge, and provides a note from his doctor. And certainly everybody's entitled to appeal that all the way through to determine whether or not he's able to perform his duty.
He may be physically able, just can't do it.
I'm sorry?
The doctor may not find anything wrong.
Well, I think that's, Judge, why the statute provides for review of the firefighter or the actual physical examination of the firefighter by up to two different doctors, his own and one appointed by the commission or a committee appointed by the commission.
But then after all the doctors have looked at him, they said, there's nothing physically wrong with this man. But he can't drag this hose to 40 feet or whatever he's required to do. Where will they be then?
That would be
under Section A, whether a firefighter is sufficiently physically or mentally fit to continue the person's duties.
But that's the doctor who said it. If the doctor tosses it back, that's my question, where are they?
If the doctor says he's physically fit, yet he goes to a fire scene and cannot do that, actually cannot drag the hose up and is responsible for whatever tragedy. There are provisions under the code for shirking his duties or displaying cowardice at a fire, displaying an act of incompetency.
Counsel, the purpose of the test is to make sure that people don't die, property and damaged, because we learn after the fact that a firefighter may not be competent, may not possess the required skills to perform the test, which is the subject of the order involved here.
Yes, sir.
Isn't that right?
I agree with that.
And so what you're saying is if they're unable to comply to meet the requirements of the test, the only thing that can happen is that they can, under 1115, be referred to a doctor to determine whether they possess the physical and mental fitness to perform the test.
Yes, sir.
And to follow up on Justice Hightower's question, if they are physically and mentally fit but don't possess the skills or competence to do the job, there's nothing anybody can do about it.
My response to that, Judge, is that there is a less stringent physical examination given to firefighters before they join the fire academy. And they undergo training in order to become firefighters and work as probationary firefighters for, I believe, a period of 6 months.
What if, as happens to some of us, that over the years, the firefighter that weighed 150 pounds weighs 300 pounds 10 years later and just can't do it?
Then it is up to his physician or the physicians appointed by the Civil Service Commission to evaluate him to determine whether or not he's capable of performing his duty.
And if at 300 pounds, the doctor says there's nothing physically wrong with you other than you weigh too much, but, you're not unphysically fit.
But realize the wording of the statute. It doesn't say that they're simply looking for something wrong with you. They're looking to make sure that you are physically or mentally fit to continue in your duties.
So I guess your view is that the doctor designated by the fire department could administer these tests.
Absolutely. Absolutely. In fact, I'm suggesting to the court that order number four, if properly done, remove the disciplinary actions from it. If it's done just as a test and somebody fails it, then the requirements of 1115 are put in place. He goes to a doctor, he or she goes to a doctor, they get an evaluation. And the doctor can have the report in front of him that so-and-so failed this portion of order number four.
Then what you're really quarreling with is the arbitrary result, the pass-fail result of the test. You pass, you're
still a fireman. It was implemented.
You don't pass, you're no longer a fireman. It's arbitrary. They have no medical evaluation subsequent to the test. You're arguing that they would remove that disciplinary aspect from it, simply order the test. And if there is a failure, then refer you for, statutorily for the medical psychological evaluation. Then there's no problem.
There's no problem.
Under order number four, you have six chances to pass the test, don't you?
Yes, sir. Two without disciplinary action and the other four with disciplinary action.
It's a good thing they don't have a test for the court.
Any other questions?
Or for the lawyers who argue before the court.
Thank you, counsel.
May I be excused?
That concludes the oral arguments for the morning. The foregoing causes are submitted on briefs and oral arguments, and the marshal will now please adjourn the court.
The audience, please rise. Oyez, oyez, oyez. The Honorable Supreme Court effective now stands adjourned, subject to call.